Let's take God's word tonight and turn to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. This is lesson number 10 in our series, Treasures of Darkness. If you have the little booklet there, hopefully you've been able to work on that. We've been kind of off here and there at times, but we're trying to finish up the series. And by the way, we have a brand new series that will be, I've had it set aside for several months. And the theme of that series is the second coming of Christ, the return of the Lord. I really think you'll be helped by it, encouraged by it. And it's a little bit longer series in number of lessons, but that's ready to go and waiting in the wings as we prepare for that. Let me give you the goals for the series. If you'll remember right, there's been four primary goals for all the lessons. Number one, to find the treasures of darkness that God has for us during difficult times in life. Number two, to understand that our great comfort is in the presence of God, not in the absence of trouble. Number three, to see that God allows things in our lives to prepare us to be what He desires for us to be. And then lastly, a goal for this series, to trust the Lord during days of darkness, knowing that God has a perfect understanding of the past, the present, and the future. These are, again, as I said, the four main goals for the series. Tonight's lesson is entitled, His Way is Perfect, and it is Psalm 18:30, not 18:10, as previously given. That is the theme verse for the lesson. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. Now, we have several lesson aims just for tonight's lesson. Be listening for some of this as we go through it. The first one is to realize that we have a perfect God who does nothing imperfectly. A perfect God who does nothing imperfectly. Number two, to understand that even when things do not go as we planned, I think that's the key right there. They don't go as we planned. God is still perfect. Number three, to cry out to God in our times of distress. I think we've all had those. And to know that He will hear us and He will deliver us. Number four, to find direction from God and to desire above all else to know what He wants for our lives. You know, think about that. Do we really want what God wants or do we want what we have planned? Now, sometimes those can be the same, because Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee, what? The desires of thine heart. So, you know, when we start to pray and we start to get close to the Lord, you know, His desires become our desires. They can go right in hand. Number five, four, to find from direction from God, that was what we just said. Number five, to be reminded that God loves us, delights in us, and He's personally interested in each of us. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. This is something really to grab a hold of in your heart and mind. God is not interested in this whole group as one. God is interested in individuals and each of us as His children. Just like a family unit would be, it's the same in the family of God. Individually, God is interested in your life. And God has a plan, not the same for me, for you. You have your own customized plan from God, and it is perfectly fit for you. What a blessing that is. And lastly, to yield to the Lord so that His way becomes our way. You know those good old yield signs, right? And we need to yield to the Lord. Psalm 18:30, we just read it. I've just read it a couple times, but allow me, and would you follow along as I read verse 31 and 32 as well. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Notice again, if you will, and maybe if you underline in your Bible in verse 30, the statement, His way is perfect. Notice also in verse 32, there is a statement made that He maketh my way perfect. And really, we can connect those two in our mind as we read these, that his way is perfect, but he also makes my way perfect. In this psalm, God speaks of two ways. There is the way of God, and there is my way, or the way of man. Again, it ought to be our prayer that his way and his desire and his plan would be my desire. And this will naturally make his way perfect. And that's what I want in my life. I don't want my way to be perfect. I want God's way to be perfect. And when everything is going the way that I want it to go, sometimes I think, okay, this must be the perfect way of God. And when everything is going the way I don't want it to go, then I think, well, this can't be God's way. But really, I may have my thinking completely backwards. And that doesn't mean God wants everything to go wrong. It just means that God has a perfect way for our life, and God's perfect way doesn't always match my perfect way. Again, it comes down to that yieldedness that we'll talk about in just a moment. What is God doing by working his way in your life? What is God doing by working his way in my life? Here's a thought. His way, the Lord is working to transform us so that we trust in him so much that we're willing to say, I want my way to be your way. This is not the way I had it drawn up at this stage in my life, but I want my way to be your way. Maybe we could say that in different areas of our life, depending on what age you are, or where you're at in your career, or where you're at in whatever it may be, in different relationships. We might say, this isn't what I had in mind, but I want to yield what I had in mind to the way of God. And as the psalmist said, his way, verse 30, his way is perfect. So perfect can't be improved upon, can it? There's no way. His way is perfect. It is either going to be your way, my way, or God's way. So we're going to look at three things tonight about this, and I trust that God will help you through it. And we'll look back at the beginning of Psalm 18 to do it. So we're going to look back at Psalm 18:1. First thing is, our God delivers. Our God delivers. I'm so thankful that we have a delivering God. Look at verse number 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Notice what the psalmist says, verse 2 of 18. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Let's stop right there. Did you notice one personal pronoun that stuck out a little bit? My, okay? This isn't the movie from Australia, you know, right? What was that movie called where the bird said, mine, mine, mine? But you can think about it that way, right? Nemo, I think it was, you know. David is saying it's personal. Again, remember, God doesn't look at us tonight and only see one here tonight. He sees each of us individually. And David said, he is my buckler. He is my strength. He is my high tower. And as you read the word of God, all scripture is for you. All scripture is for me. So this isn't just reading it and saying, well, that's good for David. No, this is for you and me. And we can claim these exact personal pronouns, these exact things that he did as what they are for us. Now, look at verse 4 and 5. So the first thing he speaks about is the personal way in which God means something to him personally. I hope you could say that tonight too. Notice then he describes in verses 4 and 5 a very tragic situation. Look at verse 4. The sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. What a turn of events. From what God is in the first three verses and this personal relationship that he has with God, and now he's really kind of bringing it down and speaking of life's difficulties. Verse 5, the sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. It seemed as if in this case, now that we're reading these two verses, would you not agree with me that David is saying, I'm in a place and there's no way out. I mean, I'm down for the count. Ready? Get ready to count me out. It's going to be an 8 count, a 10 count, however much. I'm done. There's no way out of this situation. Look at verse 6, though. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. You see, sometimes it is the best place for us to be is in a time of distress. This is part of God's way. What did it bring David to do when we read through verses 3 and 4, and 5, or 4 and 5? What did it bring David to do? It brought David to a time of dependence on God. So much so that he said, I had to cry out to God. He heard my voice. He called upon God. He cried unto my God. Pardon me. He heard my voice, verse 6, out of his temple, and my cry came before him. Notice those words. God is waiting for us at times to come to a place where we see no way out but to cry. You know, sometimes they say, you just need to have a good cry. I don't know if that's what this is talking about. I don't think so. But it's talking about going to God and just really pouring out our soul to him. Maybe it's not tears that come, but it's an inner aching, if you will, or a sorrowing from the inner man that we come to God, as he described in verses 4 and 5. I mean, that was a very awful time. And everybody here has them. And I don't mean to be really negative, but we're going to have more of them. But we, like David, have a God who is with us, and he delivers. He does deliver. Hey, 2025 is in the rearview mirror. Maybe there's a lot of things about 2025 that aren't that pleasant for you. Maybe there's a lot of things, by the way, if you're a Christian, that even though there was some challenges probably, there's a lot of blessings every year no matter what, because God is good, and God is faithful. And in this case, God delivers, and God is delivering tonight. Notice verse 7. So after all of this pouring out his heart to God and sharing his heart to God, in verse 7, then the earth shook and trembled. Notice that word then. Okay, it's there on purpose, all right? It's not just stuck in there because the Holy Spirit didn't have anything else to write. It's saying that after all of this, after all of the aching from the inner man and the crying out to God, God delivered. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. He was upset. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. Verse 9, he bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. Wow, David recognizes that God can do all things. And he talks here in these verses about his marvelous deliverance. And it keeps going, by the way. I didn't read all of it, but it goes actually all the way down to verse 19. And it's describing what God is doing. I won't read all of it, but at verse 10, you can see about him riding upon a cherub, flying upon the wings. Darkness is secret place, verse 11. Verse 12, the brightness, and on it goes about the deliverance that God was providing. Again, this is not exclusive for the psalmist. We don't read God's word and say, that was great for the psalmist. We can say that, but we can also say, God, I need this too. God, I need this in my life. I need this in a very tangible way. God, I need you to deliver. And I'm crying out to you, God, because I cannot deliver myself. My pastor cannot deliver this. My spouse cannot deliver. Only you can deliver, God. And by the way, God is still delivering. God is still all-powerful. Nothing is too hard for him. So if you're going to have deliverance in an area, and if I'm going to have victory in an area, it will be from God. It's not because we determined to get it done. It's because God enabled you, or God enabled me to keep going even in a challenging time. And when everything was really, really low, we cried out to God, and then David said, God delivered. So that's number one, God delivers. Secondly, not only is God deliver, look at verse 19. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me. Notice this next statement. This is really encouraging. Because he delighted in me. Wow. He didn't just deliver me because, he delivered me because, number two, our God delights. Our God delights. And who does he delight in? He delights in his children. Or if you're saved tonight, God delights in you. And even if you're not saved tonight, God still loves you and wants you to be saved. But in this relationship that we're talking about tonight, it's not quite the same until you join the family. And you can join the family tonight if you're not saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Don't delay on that. But here he's saying, God delights in me. As a father or a mother delights in his children, God delights in us. And here's something that I wrote down. Maybe you'll think about it, maybe even write it down. Delighting in someone means they are more than just a number. This is kind of what I was saying earlier. Delighting in someone means they're more than just a number. You know, God knows how many hairs are on every head in this room tonight. Some it's not as hard to keep track of, okay? What does that mean? He delights in us. God knows exactly what you're going through tonight. I have no idea what you might be going through. But God knows. Why? Because he delights in you. God knows exactly the challenges that are going to be allowed into your life in 2026. And even though they're challenges, it's because God delights in us, because these are opportunities to bring glory to God. God not only delivers, but God delights in us. He is personally interested in each of our lives. Look at verse 20. David said, "The Lord delighted in me," verse 19. Then look at verse 20. "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness." Notice, the Lord rewarded me. Can you imagine that? This is the Creator God rewarding sinners saved by grace. Why would God reward me? Why would God reward us? Because he delights in us. Okay, we aren't a problem for God. That's not how God views his children. You know, sometimes as parents, we can view our children in such a way that they become a problem. May God help us never to get to that place. But God is the perfect Heavenly Father, and he doesn't get to that place ever, even with me, even with you. No, he delights in us. And because he delights in us, he rewards us. The Bible says one day, we learn, it's interesting how the timing of God is. If you were here last Sunday night, we learned about crowns that we can give back to the Lord. This is exactly part of that reward that I'm speaking of even tonight, are those crowns that God gives us so that we can then give back to him. I mean, we don't earn our salvation in any way, shape, or form. It's by faith, by grace through faith that we come to Christ. And this Christian life is a blessing to be called a child of God. But, you know, I'm looking forward to the day where I pray that I'll have something in that judgment seat of Christ, post-judgment seat of Christ, post-fire that will be put on my works. I hope there's going to be something left besides a bunch of ashes that I can give to the Lord. That's what this is talking about. God delights in us. He rewards us. Notice what he said he got rewarded for. He got rewarded for his righteousness. We talked a little bit this morning about the opposite of that. Unfortunately, there's a reward for unrighteousness, and it's not good. But here we're talking about righteousness. There is a God in heaven, the Creator God, who takes special delight in each and every one of us, and that would be each of you here tonight. He delights in us. He longs to do more for you and in you and through you than we ever imagined. Think about that as we enter a brand new year, 5 days in. What is the key? The key comes back to verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. When we make his perfect way my way, then the rest of these things come into picture a lot easier. So he delivers, he delights. And then there's one more that I want you to see here. Look at verse 21, please. "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly, verse 22, "for all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes." What is he saying here? He's saying, for all his judgments, that's a word in the Bible that is talking about the Word of God. So the Word of God, he's saying here, was before him. What was leading David? What was leading him? God's word was leading him. In this case, judgments is not referring to a penalty. It's referring to actually the word of God. And you'll look in Psalm 119 sometime, and you'll see all the different words that describe the word of God in there. The statutes of the Lord, the ways of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord, and there's many, many more. So what is it that is before David? He says, his judgments were before me. So that means that tonight, if we were walking out of this room, and we will walk out of this room, you can imagine, just picture somebody walking out of the room, but somebody holding the Bible before them. This is just maybe a little bit of a picture in your mind. So David is saying, I have God's word before me, and every way that I'm going, if I'm going to go straight, if I'm going to go to the right, if I'm going to go to the left, God's judgments are before me. So who is leading the psalmist? It's the word of God. David is not leading David. God's word is leading David. And again, this is the struggle that I have in my life at times. I want to figure out where I want to go, and I'm going to go that way. And speaking of spiritual things, not necessarily in a driving down the road sense, but sometimes even that. But I want to yield whatever my way and thoughts and plans are. I want God's judgments to go before me. Because you know, when this goes before you and when this goes before me, you know what's going to follow this? Victory. What's going to follow this? Power. What's going to follow this? Peace. I mean, you just go right on down the line. All the things. If I'm following the judgments of God, if I'm following the ways of God through His Word, that's going to add so much more to my life that it's going to be there in that great time of need. And one of those is what it's saying here. God directs us through His Word. I want to encourage you, again, a new year, maximize any time you can in the Word of God. Maximize it. Set aside a time. Set aside a half hour, set aside 15 minutes, and even if you have extra time later in the day, pour a little bit more time into the Word of God. Pour it into you. Let it meditate on it. Get one verse for every day. Meditate on it. Think about it. Meditate on this theme verse. You cannot literally spend too much time. I guess there is a way, but I don't know who it would be. But you can't really spend too much time in the Word of God. We need it. It is what is going to go before us, whether it's a brand new year, whether it's a brand new working position, whether it's a brand new opportunity in life, a relationship in life. What do we need guiding that? We need God's word guiding it. Remember, His way is what? Perfect. Wow. That's what I want. Now, my way is not perfect, and neither is yours. We might think we've got it all figured out, but we need God's way to lead. And when God's way is leading the way, we have that promise that His way is perfect. He wants to direct us through His word. Go over to Proverbs 14. Hold your place right there in Psalm, please. Go over to Proverbs 14. Thank you for listening. His way is perfect. I'm thinking of the hymn in our hymn book. His way will make you what you ought to be. Something like that. And maybe I'm getting the right words there. Sometimes I'm mixing up words in songs. Do you ever do that? Anyway. Proverbs 14, 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Death. See? So there's a way that seems right. I really think I should go into this relationship. I really think I should take this job. I'm not saying those are wrong to do, but we don't want to be guided by what we think we should do. We want to be guided how God is leading. What is God's way? What is He trying to take me? And sometimes when we don't know, it doesn't mean we just have to guess. Waiting on God is not a bad thing. It's okay to wait on God. It's okay to take time and just not make a decision if we don't know what we're supposed to do. It's better to pray. And even say, God, I'm going to be reading Your word. I'm going to be praying about this matter. Lead me through it. We have a new ministry opportunity. I'm not going to say anything about it right now, but we have a new ministry opportunity that somebody shared with me. And I've had two people share with me the same ministry opportunity. And I'm praying about it. I'll share it with you to pray about it when I think it's the right time. But I believe God is in it. For one person said something to me about it, and completely unrelated to that person, another person literally contacted me about the same opportunity, like two peas in a pod. So when that happens, you have to really stop and take note. And you have to say, God, what are you doing here? What are we supposed to do with this? And I do believe we're supposed to do something with it. I don't think we're supposed to wait forever, but we're praying on the specifics. And I'll have you pray with me when it's time. I'm just saying, in this, it's a great opportunity to tell you that we want to have His way. Even in a new ministry opportunity, we want to make sure that it's His way. And I believe it is His way because the people that are burdened by it, two separate, just complete different people within the church came to me within not even 2 weeks. And so, but what am I saying? I'm saying we want God to direct. So God is already directing. He's put it on the hearts of two different adults in this church. But then God will continue to direct by His word. And so we need God's wisdom. I need God's wisdom. Every day you probably have to make decisions, and so do I, about different things in life. And there is a way that might seem right, but is it really God leading? I'll tell you this, God will never lead you to do something contrary to His word. So if it is going to violate a clear command of Scripture, I can tell you right now with great confidence, it is not God's way. Even if it looks so good and so hopeful and helpful and whatever, I can tell you right now, don't do it. Because if it's going against the Bible, it's not going to be right. It's not going to end well. It's not going to please God. And isn't that what we're supposed to be doing with this one life, one choice, to please God with our life, to please God in service for Him? So our God directs. There is a way that seems right, but in this case, Solomon says, but it's not even right at all. Let's go back to our text, if you held your finger there. Verse 32, Psalm 18, 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength. We read this earlier. And maketh my way perfect. So, what do we learn here? We learn that David did not try to force his way. Now, we know David wasn't perfect. There's examples in the Bible of David not going God's way. So, it's not to say for any stretch of the imagination that David was a perfect man and always went God's way. He didn't. But in this case, he is saying, I waited on God's way, and what did God do? God made my way. God made David's way perfect. I mean, that is exactly what we should all be striving for. But who is making our way perfect? Not us. Only God. By the way, God is not done doing this. God would love to do this in each of our lives. And God will do this in each of our lives if we allow Him to. David did not try his way first. He sought direction from God. He found God's way and made it his way. So we have a couple of options tonight. We can struggle going our own way. Or we can yield and go God's way. And you think about this even with salvation. You think about this even with establishing the relationship with God. There aren't a lot of ways that lead to God, right? Jesus said something about that, John 14, 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And yet there's people all over the world tonight that are trying to please God their way. And I'm not being unkind, but it's going to be a very sad reality when they take their last breath. If they don't go God's way, it's not going to be good. And this isn't my, I would never wish that. I'm not wishing that on anybody. I would like everybody to be saved, everybody to turn to Christ. God is not willing that any should perish. I know I quoted that earlier, but that all should come to repentance. That means the most wicked sinner, God wants them to be saved. But there's only one way to come to God. And after we come to God for salvation, we shouldn't change our way of thinking. Well, now that we're saved, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to just take my choices and I'm going to do what I want to do. No, it still stays the same. There's only one way, God's. And we want God to make our way perfect. At some point in time, I pray that each and every one of us will see that the way of God is the only way. It is the only way. May you and I desire to do what God wants us to do, and that His perfect way would become our way. So our God, He delights in us. He delights in you. That was number two. Our God directs, but then our God also delivers. He delivers, He delights, and He directs. Psalm 18, read it a couple of times this week. Maybe make a note, maybe set in a reminder. Read Psalm 118 and just let the Word of God, again, at the beginning of the chapter, David was saying all those personal pronouns. But think about it in your own life. This is for me. God will deliver me even in the darkest time, verses 4 and 5. Then verses 6 to 18, God did some amazing things. God delivered. And God did amazing things all through His Word. And by the way, God has done amazing things in your life. Just take time to remember Him, as we even talked about this morning. Our God is so great. The way of God is perfect. Let's pray. Heavenly